Adelaide Hawley says...
Household hints, how to sabotage the Nazis.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to another Adelaide Hawley program. On this day after the day which made so much history, it makes my daily presentation of the historical facts seem superfluous. And yet the one I found for today isn't far out of line. 4 years ago, on the 7th of June, 1940, the Norwegian army capitulated to the invading Germans. Well, today the shoe is on the other foot, not only for Norwegians, but for all invaded peoples. I think Adelaide's going to have something to say about that, particularly about what women of the United Nations are thinking and doing today. Am I right, Adelaide?
Good morning, Clyde. And how do you do, everybody? Yes, I do have news of United Nations women this morning, and I think you'll find it as inspiring and comforting as I did. And certainly it's fresh news because it came direct to me, and it's different from the things the men commentators have been telling us about because, understandably, they've been concerned with the men's side of things.
Well, may I suggest a sponsor message before you begin, Adelaide?
Well, of course, Clyde. Shall we urge everyone listening, everyone with a man in the service, to have his or her picture taken right away to send to the camps, the battle stations, or the fronts? Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, wives, send your service representative a picture as soon as possible. If you live too far away from the Bach Rock Studio at 683 Fifth Avenue to make an appointment there, well, then have a picture taken somewhere. But do send a picture. It does a world of good to be able to look at the folks back home.
Or if some of you can't get to the Bach Rock Studio for a right-away picture, you probably would still like to see the portrait type of picture for which Bach Rock is famous. So why not send your name and address to Adelaide Hawley, WEAF, New York, and she'll arrange for you to receive your Bach Rock booklet, so that you can see for yourself.
Well, the very lovely reproductions of fine Bach Rock photographs that you find in this booklet owe part of their perfection to the extreme care that Bach Rock photographers take when you sit before their camera. Even before the camera sees you, you know, a professional stylist does. That is, if you're on the feminine side of the picture. And if you want the stylist's advice on lipstick, eyebrows, eye makeup, and hairstyles, well, it's all yours for the asking.
Yes, that's why Bach Rock photographs are so natural and beautiful. They sometimes take a bit of living up to. But that's not hard to do in as much as the stylist makes a complete chart of beauty hints for you. It's made for you, and it's yours. So why not call Bach Rock today at 683 Fifth Avenue and make an appointment? Or, if that's impossible, remember to write for that booklet.
I didn't have the chance to talk to you listeners yesterday as much as I wanted to, but I thought about you, and I wondered how you were feeling now that the time we dreaded and yet wanted has come. You know, I tried to analyze my own feelings, and I found that, well, I simply wanted to move a little faster and dig into a lot of work that I'd been putting off. And I maybe it was my imagination, but I thought people on the street were moving a little faster and a little more purposefully. Did you notice that, Clyde?
Yes, I did, Adelaide.
And every time I stopped doing something, I found myself feeling the way you do when you keep your fingers crossed over something. And I kept thinking sort of wordless prayers, and I'm sure all of you did, too. Yesterday, I went into a lunch counter just to pick up a bite of lunch, and I'd been going around asking people all day how they felt. And so there was a gray-haired woman sitting beside me, and I asked her how she felt now that the D-Day had come. And she said, well, she had a son who'd been stationed in England, so she was trying to keep her mind away from the invasion until its success was unquestioned. The way you do when you love a person who is very sick, you don't even want the weight of your thought to be added to the burden until the crisis has passed. That's the way she explained it. And then this casual acquaintance went on to give me more of a lesson in philosophy. She said, oh, yes, I pray, but I don't pray for my boy's safety only. I try to pray for the most possible protection for all of them and for the final triumph of good. Now, wasn't that a wonderful thing to get in the lunch counter, Clyde?
Very.
I thought so. And then I went to pay my check, and there was a young girl chatting with the cashier. And just as I came up, the cashier said, well, what are you going to do this summer now that school is out? And the girl's reply was, oh, I'm just going to loaf. And she was a girl who was obviously old enough to join the cadet nurse corps, and certainly she was hale and hearty enough to work with the Women's Land Army or volunteer for civilian hospital service or Red Cross work or any one of the dozen places where she's needed.
Don't you think, though, that she's an exception?
I hope so. I know that every woman with somebody actually in service, if it's only a dear friend, is saying silent prayers and working harder than ever today at whatever her job is. You who are at home are taking comfort from the old familiar chores that have to be done in the kitchen. Isn't it funny how washing dishes or beating a rug or beating up a cake can take you over a tough emotional spot? Or concentrating on the patriotic business of making every bit of food count, something like that.
You know, the women of the European underground certainly know what it is not to waste anything. I can't help thinking what a great help a basic food like our old-style bread would be to all those hungry men, women, and children.
That's true. Of course, that makes it easy to understand why American homemakers who are old-style fans also qualify as non-wasters of the favorite family food. Did you ever notice that when the man in uniform comes back on furlough, one thing that makes him feel at home immediately is to let him forage in the icebox and make himself some sandwiches and serve him some coffee with them?
Mm-hmm. And sandwiches made with old-style bread have old-fashioned flavor in every slice. One reason for old-style's tempting taste is its true wheat flavor, reminding you of golden, hearty grain kernels.
Well, some of the most enjoyable luncheons, Clyde, as well as other meals of the day, have been built around old-style sandwiches, old-style bread, because every smart homemaker knows what a wonderful addition that home-baked flavor makes to any kind of eating.
And old-style tastes like homemade bread because it's made from a genuine woman's recipe and allowed to rise overnight. So anyone who has ever tried old-style is sure to use all of its goodness in one delicious form or another.
Yes, Grandma knew a good loaf when she made one, and we now know the modern counterpart of Grandma's baking. It's old-style bread.
You can buy old-style bread, the standby of every meal, at any one of the friendly Bohack food department stores in Brooklyn and Long Island. By the way, Adelaide, you're speaking of the girl who was planning to loaf this summer made me think that she wouldn't exist in any country actually mobilized on a wartime basis, would she?
I should say not. Why, in England, even the younger schoolchildren are organized for vacation work. They're part of the land army, of course, among many other activities. But perhaps the most amazing thing is the volunteer work they do for the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. They'll do this year, as they did last summer, handle thousands and thousands of shipping tons of supplies for the army, unloading trucks, checking, packing, counting everything from clothing to nuts and bolts. They don't get paid for it, you know. And then there are 600 girls working somewhere in England, girls whose average age is a little older, about 17. And they're doing very dangerous work for the Ministry of Supply as chemical analysts. They check every batch of explosive before it goes into the shell casings.
Well, Adelaide, any women taking part in the actual invasion, do you think?
Well, I think you know that, Clyde. You know certainly that the nurses always go with the troops,
mm-hmm.
but this time they're not going to be the only ones. The British estimate that something like, I think it's 200,000 ATs will take part in the invasion, are taking part in it right now. The ATs, of course, are the equivalent of our WACs. They call them the Auxiliary Territorial Service, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the first of them went ashore as soon as a beachhead was established. Those were the ones in the signals and communications branch. And next went drivers, clerks, and cooks to drive and repair motor equipment, handle records of supplies and army pay books and so on, and to cook. And our own WACs have been in England for 2 years, living at Allied Women's Headquarters, and I think it's reasonable to suppose that they'll have first-hand invasion news to tell their grandchildren, too. And certainly the trained girl workers of the OWI will be much in demand in the field of communications. And, let's see, isn't it amazing? This is probably the first time in history that women as an actual part of an army have gone in with an invasion.
I should think the women would be quite thrilled.
I imagine they are. And the canteen workers of all countries will have plenty to do. In England, they call them the NAFIS, you know.
N-A-A-F-I-S. That's one I hadn't heard, Adelaide.
Well, it stands for Navy, Army, and Air Force Institute. And there are 2,000 of them volunteered to do canteen work right up close to the firing line. And then the YMCA will have girls taking care of mobile canteens, too. And they'll not only know how to serve tea and cakes with a smile, they'll know how to fix the truck when it breaks down. You know, these women all make me feel like a sissy.
Well, the home front women in England are just as energetic, of course.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The girls who do EMSA work, that's Entertainment National Service Association, same as our USO. Certain selected and tried and true members of that organization are ready and waiting with their prettiest washable evening dresses all packed, ready to follow the troops with special entertainment units as soon as the canteen girls get rest billets established. I wonder if any invasion was ever thought out in such detail as this one. Why, even the girls who work in government offices in London are all set to live and eat right in their offices in case the transportation system breaks down because of needs for the second front. And housewives are all stocked up with emergency foods as much as possible in case there should be reprisal air raids from Germany so that they won't upset things by going out and standing in line, getting in the way.
Mm. You know, I imagine the air raid service in England is taken a lot more seriously than it is by some of the members of ours here.
Yes, well, it has to be. Every air raid warden is on tiptoe over there with preparation. And then the women who belong to the women's voluntary services are doing a magnificent job. So are ours here, incidentally. But over there, they're catching up on loose ends everywhere, trying to foresee every emergency, getting everything wrapped up and labeled before it happens, you might say. It's the kind of intense preparation that we just can't comprehend over here, never having had a real emergency cracking a whip over us. But, of course, it's not the British women alone in Europe who are ready.
Well, I know you have something to say about other United Nations women, Adelaide, but may I just say a final word for a sponsor?
Well, of course.
Well, this is the time of year when there's never enough space to store all those winter woolens, those heavy blankets, those messy odds and ends.
Ah, yes. Well, I can't think of any better way to solve your space and storage problems than with Easy Do closets and chests and wardrobes. Now, that style called Rolla Chest, for instance, is grand because it rolls so easily wherever you want to store it. And then there's the Easy Do Glide Chest that glides right under the bed and out of the way. And both the Rolla Chest and the Glide Chest are easy, just as easy to move as their names would have you believe. And at the same time, they're sturdy and unusually roomy.
Well, for any of our listeners who haven't seen these two grand Easy Do products, you have a pleasant surprise in store. The Rolla Chest is high, wide, and handsome. The Glide Chest is extremely long and wide, yet high enough to fit comfortably under a bed.
Yes, you can tell by Clyde's descriptions of the Rolla Chest and the Glide Chest that they're both perfect for storing blankets and woolens and clothing. And while you're putting your winter things away, you probably have an urge to do a bit of redecorating, too?
Well, in that case, we have just the booklet you need, the Easy Do booklet that you can have simply by sending a postcard with your name and address to Adelaide Hawley, WEAF, Radio City, New York.
Yes, you might send that postcard to me, Adelaide Hawley, WEAF, Radio City, New York, and ask for both the Easy Do booklet and the Bachrach booklet.
Well, now, what about the women of Holland and Belgium and some of the occupied countries?
Oh, you can be sure that they're doing all they possibly can. Of course, not too much is known about them because a good many of their activities are carried on in the underground. But in the Netherlands, the women are hiding and feeding the men who do the fighting. Incidentally, underground Dutchmen are referred to in a phrase in Dutch, which means being on the bicycle because that's the only way they can get around. The women in the university towns of Delft and Amsterdam also hide and feed the students who have refused to attend German-dominated classrooms, is what I was going to say. In many places, they've turned printers and typesetters, publishing underground newspapers. But perhaps the most outstanding characteristic of the Dutch woman is her stubborn resistance to the Nazis in every way that she dares. And then I think I might just mention about the Norwegian women, inasmuch as June 7th is the anniversary of the fall of Norway in 1940, as you said, Clyde. I think the story of Norway indicates that a woman's strength is, a country's strength is certainly no greater than its women. In Norway, the most important underground work has been done in the kitchen by the housewife. Hunger and starvation would have been far worse had it not been for the resourceful meals turned out by the housewives from their tiny store of potatoes and bread, plus sometimes a bit of fish. And women have proved and are proving to be good at the tough routine jobs that the underground requires. I think all these women of the United Nations can give us great courage and inspiration and strength. And incidentally, tomorrow we're going to have a guest who was a member of the underground in France to tell of his actual experiences. And now until we meet again, goodbye.
Goodbye, too, from Clyde Cattell. But both Adelaide Hawley and I'll be with you again tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Adelaide Hawley's program has been a WEAF presentation. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Station.
Station WEAF, New York.